Item 10A, staff report, and it'll just be Gail today.
I have no comment today.
Okay.
The one day I don't have a comment.
Item 10B, there are no outside professionals here. 10C, trustee comments. Good. Seeing none.
Wait. I've got to say something. I went to...
Jerry had to say something.
Don't let us force you.
I tried.
He'll find something to talk
about. Nobody said anything, Jerry. I say something.
I went to the California retired... I went to CRCEA yesterday and the day before over in... it was in Alameda and Emeryville, so it was close and drivable and conference. But the thing that really... I just wanted to talk about one speaker. Usually their speakers are, these are the things to do in our area. This is the latest health stuff that's going on. They're never real substantive regarding what we do. But it's important for me to be there because that's what I represent as retirees, and those are all the retiree organizations. So I like to hear what they're talking about. But they had a speaker that I was really impressed with, Maria Rose. Where are you, Tuesday? Why can't I find you? Well, I know where I can go, and I'll tell you what she had to say. She was the 43rd treasurer of the United States.
Rios.
Yeah. Gamateto Rios. And what was really interesting about her, there was several things, but for me, she was born and raised in Hayward, California, which is a local. And she got involved with redevelopment and real estate and housing for the homeless and affordable housing. And through that, came up through the ranks in Alameda County, was on Alameda County's retirement board, and became known as a knowledgeable person in real estate and finance with real estate, with regards to real estate. Obama found her, brought her to Washington to be involved with his transition team. She so impressed him with her work with the transition team that he appointed her as the treasurer of the United States. And so if you look on your money, you'll see her signature on almost all the bills that have been made over the 8 years that Obama was in office. But since leaving that position, she has made me aware of something I wasn't so aware of before. She has gone on a focus of empowerment for women. And the examples that she used just absolutely flabbergasted me. She says, you know, I did a study on my own. She says, I was in New York, and I decided I wanted to see how many women statues there were in Central Park. So I walked the whole park. She said, I found 19 statues dedicated to males who were in powerful positions during the history of the country. I found two female statues, and one was Mary Poppins, and the other one was another Disney character. She says, there are no female empowerment pictures or statues or replicas anywhere in any of the major places. And the other stat that she threw at me, she says, in almost all organizations, they talk, you know, Hillary used to always talk about the glass ceiling, but they talk about there are not women in powerful positions in the outside world. She says, and it's true, only about 20% of women get to a power position. That means 80% of the positions of power are usually handled by males. And so it just, and she says, you go into any government office and you look around at the pictures on the walls. look for females. You will not find any females. And it kind of like registered with me, and I was really impressed with that part. Not the treasury part, which most people would say, wow, that's pretty good that she, but that she found something beyond being a treasurer that she is really devoting her life to, and trying to get women into more powerful positions and to get women recognized. So I want to say that was impressive for me, because it's something that I never thought about before, especially when she talked about walking Central Park and taking
and she
a look.
Spoke at SAC is two
yes, she did.
Ago, is it 3 seconds ago?
Yeah, she was on
was
a panel.
The panel for the empowerment of women thing they did.
Yeah, so it was a really good speaker, and I enjoyed her presentation, and I even got a dollar bill signed by her for my granddaughter. My granddaughter, that's how impressed I was. So
couldn't you have just gotten a dollar bill?
Wait, I might still
redundant.
Wait, I think I do. I put it in a special place.
Her signature, she signs above it.
Yeah, there it is. I haven't given it to her yet.
Hey,
Will, signed.
There you go.
Signed.
It already was signed. Right?
My granddaughter's going to, I told her on the phone, I did that for her.
She's facing the problem.
Hang that up on the window.
Now is you got to frame that, Jerry.
Ain't that federal crime, Jerry? Facing.
And I'll also give her the bio that Rosie gave us at the thing, so she'll have some recognition with it.
Great.
So doing my little cause for women.
First, I just wanted to express appreciation for the SARA employees being here and speaking their piece. And as uncomfortable or as passionate as the feelings were, I think it's still good to, you know, to hear that. And perhaps some opportunity to clear some misunderstandings about who said what about, you know. I just got flew in last night from the IFPBP conference in Las Vegas, and that was really helpful. Went to further learn about emerging markets, frontier, private equity, private credit, and then they had one on infrastructure investing, which is kind of thrown out there about the $1 trillion difference. But that's God. That's even more complicated than what we've otherwise been dealing with. Gabe is still there. The session ends today, and there was a lot of discussion about millennials and so forth, and overall very useful, helpful conference. I think IFPBP does a great job with their educational series.
Great. One other thing, I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah. In the legislative outbreak, Amy, who writes the PRJ that we all read about, said that there's a really important issue coming down the line, and we all better pay real close attention to it, because nobody knows what's going on, and that is the smaller employment agencies in CalPERS defaulting. And that, what does that mean, and what's going on? She talked about, one in particular, a water district, and there was only like 5 or 6 employees, and it defaulted, and those retirees that were receiving pay had their pay cut by 60%.
Yeah, just down south.
60%.
And that, like, so, housing district is something.
Yeah.
That some sort was of joint power.
Yeah,
authority.
Joint power.
Yeah,
authority,
yeah. And the second part of that was joint powers have been involved cut. And who really is responsible. And so It's something we bear. We've got how many, 14, 16? What? How many employers do we have?
16. 15. 16 plus the county.
Yeah. Most of them, I don't think, are in a position where they're, well, we have talked about the fire.
Rodale.
So, I mean, we have an employer that has been in trouble in the past.
Jerry, in the back of my mind, Karen is probably the right one to respond. CalPERS has a different set of rules on the default than we do.
Uh-huh.
My understanding is that in our case, there is not a cutback in benefits, and effectively we would charge all other employers for the benefits that had been that were unpaid for.
So our retirees that belong to us, if a default situation came about, their salaries, retiree salaries, would not be cut.
So Sarah does not have a similar statute to PERS, and by statute for PERS, when there's a defaulting employer, they can't cut the benefits.
Okay.
So the Sarah plan does not have a similar statute.
So the consequences, in many respects, of a default is that every one of our employers would suddenly be told they get to pay for somebody else's employees as well as their own.
Which is not fun.
Which is not a good answer.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, just food for thought and discussion.
Absolutely.
David?
I also wanted to say that when I came onto the board about a year and a half ago and had long discussions with Gail about kind of, you know, what the environment was and so forth, and Gail explained her management style, which is very actually inclusive. And so I acknowledge and appreciate the mindset that you described to me, and so that doesn't mean that I don't feel whatever was said today, that doesn't mean I don't appreciate what you've done and in your position.
Well,
just about 15 minutes. I'm just kidding. I did want to say something. I've been really hesitant on saying anything, and I think it was item six or whatever, where we had all the public comment, you know, on saying anything, and I'll probably get criticized for saying something now as opposed to not during that time. But I have to respond. So first off, I want to say that I'm not going to respond to anything specifically, but it's just more of a generality. First off, I'm an employee as well, and I'm very empathetic to being an employee, and I think it's very important to take care of employees in terms of wages, benefits, you know, working conditions and environment, all that stuff. So I empathize with, you know, all the employees of the organization. I'm also an employer, so I think it's, again, I think it's on the private side. So I think it's important to take care of employees. And I want to thank everyone here that works here for their time and effort and energy in taking care of our system as a member and as my, you know, as retirees, and making sure things get paid and doing those type of things. And then I also want to, I feel like it was a little bit, I don't know, offline, not offline, but not on track. What I was expecting today was two classification and compensation reports or studies that were independent of each other.
Yes.
And it was more, I empathize with the frustrations that employees have, and I respect them for being courageous to come up here and speak and share their thoughts, and thank you for that. But my understanding was we were going to get two compensation reports with no action today in terms of taking.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm so kind of hesitant and reluctant to speak is it's kind of like a meet and confer thing, you know.
Sorry.
Meet and confer type of, you know, thing that we should be having. This is probably going to be last thing I mention, but Scott's not here right now, and everyone would think I'd be the last one to defend Scott Gordon, and he can defend himself, but I didn't feel that his comments were truly argumentative. And, you know, and speaking of argumentative, the second report that was presented was completely an argument to the first report that was objective, you know. So, I think Scott was just asking questions. I didn't feel it was that argumentative. So, that's all I want to say. It's just interesting. So thank you for everyone's comments today.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Any further comments?
Any more trustee comments?
Well, then I'm going to say this meeting's adjourned.